And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett. And at this time, I'm glad to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, good to be here tonight.
Good.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad. I love it because it's not really too hot outside. You know, the weather's kind of...
it's not too bad at all, really.
A little dreary today, but...
You know... It's been a things just seem to be changing daily around here. By the way, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker, Community Christian Fellowship, at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our number there is 740-494-2222. And this number in here is 740-383-9944, right?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. If anyone wants to call and has any questions tonight. Hey, tonight I'd like to open in a word of prayer if we could. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I ask that people would listen tonight, that you would desire to hear this program, and that, Lord, that we would look to you and trust you for each and everything. In your name, amen. You know, I've been talking and thinking about some things in the last few days that I don't understand why it is that common sense is not common anymore. And why things that just, it's so hard today to sit down with people and compare apples and apples and apples and oranges and have a conversation without people getting angry and just shutting their mind down and refusing, you know, to listen to anything you say. It's interesting. I wanted to read something in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 27, it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glorify in his own presence. But of him you are in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification is his redemption. And it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord." And then Paul says, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was in your weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, and yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And you know, it says in verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." And as I talk those passages tonight, I begin to understand what it is why so many people struggle and until they surrender to the knowledge of God, until they accept what Jesus Christ has done and allows his Spirit to live in them, they can't understand. There's a broken connection. And you can sit all day long and talk to people about what is right and why things are right in God's eyes, and they just don't get it. I mean, it's just, I just look at it and I think, why can't you understand this? Why can't you? Lately I've seen, you know, they've been burning Bibles in the streets in Portland. And I look at that and I think, wait a minute, you know, the beautiful things, read the Sermon on the Mount. You know, read throughout Scripture, you know, the Lord says that, you know, perfect religion is loving your brother, taking care of widows and orphans. What's so bad about that? And yes, there are things in there that God says are not right. And we as man have decided we want them to be right. But what's wrong with you and I, Terry, having free choice as to what we believe? It doesn't make me a hater, right? It really doesn't. You know, if I believe that for whatever moral reason, something's wrong, and it's going to hurt you and not do you any good to live that way, and it's going to separate you from God, it doesn't mean that I hate you. If I hated you, I would just shut up and let you go. But the truth is, I don't. So I care about you. So I want you to know the truth. But as people reject the truth and they reject God, they become angered at even the notion that someone dare tell them what God says and what his word says. It doesn't mean that there's no one that's a hater in the Bible. Satan's the ultimate hater. And I don't see anybody raising a fist to him lately. You know, what he's doing in this world right now. It amazes me what the rioting and things in the street is bringing and the purposing behind it, because I don't really believe that it's a lot of what they're saying it is. I think it's a lot of other stuff too. And we live in a society right now. You probably saw those documents that were released of all the indictments of all the politicians, both Republican and Democrat, indicted for sex crimes with kids and everything else. Just literally innumerable amount. And why aren't we rising up against that and saying, this isn't the kind of people we are. These are innocent little children. But we find other things that get us excited and want to yell about and caring about. And that doesn't seem to bother us. I mean, you can't even get it to be front page news. And, you know, I understand neither party wants to bring it up and make it front page news, because they're afraid their own constituents will be brought down. And it's all about politics. It left being about right and wrong. And I think that as a people, you know, we need to get back to God. And I want to encourage Christians to say, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be vocal about what I believe. I'm going to love everyone. And there's your key. We got to care about people. But yes, am I going to say what's wrong is wrong? And to use the Bible as our standard, not our own rhetoric, not some man, some person that says A, B, or C is wrong, but use the Bible as your standard and stick to it. Does that make sense? But what we're seeing today is, wow, first time in our history of this country, our society is really turning godless. And the younger generation just don't understand. But see, it just said in that scripture that they can't understand if they don't have the Spirit of God. And they're not even being introduced to God. So they don't understand that. So they follow. I remember as a kid watching the news and talking in class in school, talking about, you know, countries where the media was censored and where the media was told, you know, where they just didn't report the news as the news was. Wow, that would never happen here. Or I used to wonder when I looked at people in North Korea and the way they were treated and what was going on, how I thought, why do they just follow stuff that makes no sense? And then now I'm seeing it happen in America, and I'm thinking, okay, I guess, you know, you follow the master long enough. And, you know, I think we have to face it. Our government has become Big Brother. And everyone's afraid to cut ties there and stand up against them, because it might affect their bottom line, their check. Or, you see what I mean? And everybody wants, what can the government, they think the government is there to take care of them, but it was never meant to do that. It was meant for us to manage a system in which we take care of ourselves and each other. And it was supposed to be a representative form of government from us, not them telling us what they're going to do. Give you an easy example of that, just a simple, easy example. There are so many. But the things that Congress is exempt from that we have to do, the things that Congress takes advantage of that we can't, why are they allowed to do that? You want to know why? Because they said so. and because they are government. We said, well, we can't do anything about it. They're government. And there's where we've gone off the tracks and realized we're the ones that control them, not the other way around. But we have a whole generation now of young people that don't understand that. Well, the government says we do it. I guess we got to do it. And, you know, we have to learn. I firmly believe, now you and I both have made comments to each other off air about doomsday thinking and doomsday people. And I don't want to be a doomsday person, but I have to honestly say that if we don't get a hold of something pretty quick, this train's leaving the tracks. People wonder what's going to happen in November. If this keeps up, we may have a blow up in October. It may not reach November. Just today with you know, the governor releasing that kindergartners have to wear masks. Now, why was it just a month ago the American Pediatric Association said you don't want to put masks on kids 5 and 6 years old, and now, bang, it's reversed again. It's just that, you know, everybody wants to know that they can trust who they're following if these mandates come out to follow them. But they don't make sense, and they keep changing. And one thing one week is something completely different the next. And, you know, people are stopping and saying, wait, this makes no... Why is it okay? Why is it okay that people gather in mass crowds to protest and they're not breaking the law? But if they gather for weddings or other gatherings and family gatherings, they're not allowed to do that. You know, that makes no sense. The close contact is close contact, right? I can tell you that I was involved in a wedding a while back, fairly recently, that had a whole lot of people, hundreds, and no one got sick. No one got sick. Are people getting sick? Yes. But by the odds of what we saw prior to that, there should have been a huge outbreak. Didn't happen. So I don't know. I'm not going to be one of those people that say that it's not, that none of it's true, but I'm not going to be one of those people that doesn't say, boy, we really need to scratch our heads on this one. Is there another agenda going on that we need to recognize? And it's not just in America, I think it's kind of worldwide, to be honest. Why is it that a drug that's out there that has no, that they have no problem prescribing for someone with asthma and it won't hurt them, or something else, if we're going to use it on COVID, oh, it could be so dangerous, it could kill all these people. Well, we know that's not true. And in myself, in talking to some medical professionals, as in physicians, and I asked them about prescribing some of this, they've been told they have not been allowed, they do not have the protocol to do it. They can prescribe things such as antihistamines over the counter. Not prescribe it, tell me you can use antihistamine, this, but treatment drugs, there's nothing they can do until you're so sick that you got to go to the hospital, and then they're not treating you anyway, you're just going. And since when in America do we do things that way? We want to get ahead of something. And if there's anything out there in the world that can allow us to get ahead of something, even if someone says, oh, I don't know about that, why not let people have it at their disposal to use? You know, I know that a lot of these drugs were available over the counter around the world clear back in January. All of a sudden they dried up and nobody, you know, it makes you really, really wonder. And now, you know, turning on the, you know, with the crowds really turning on the Bible with Joe Biden saying the other day that, you know, the Bible was hate speech. Come on, Joe, you know better than that. If we don't agree with something in this country, does it have to be hate speech? And he was talking about the LTGB issue and where the Bible stands on that. But you know what I find awfully interesting? This is the same man that said that we need to promote the Muslim religion in this country and teach more of it in our schools and get people to understand it. But the Muslim religion, Islam, takes the LGBT thing a whole step farther than the Bible. I mean, you're talking about a no-no. I mean, we're not beheading people in this country for being LGBT, are we? But they do there. But he says we need to promote that, not that practice, but promote Islam and teach more about it. But the Bible's hate speech. Something doesn't add up there, Terry. It really doesn't. And I think that if people would just sit back and listen to what's being said by different people, and I don't just mean, I'm not just talking about Joe Biden, I'm talking about by, you know, Republicans on this side, Democrats, Independents, whatever, listen to what people are saying and try to put some common sense into the equation. But I truly believe that we're not going to get to the point of the clearest thinking that we could have on it until we surrender our lives to Christ and let Him lead and guide you through it. You know, it says that the Spirit bears witness in us as to those things that who we are in Him when He's there. And so many things we've done today that we're not wanting to pay attention to what God says. And even in the church, one of the biggest things that I hear out there is that, well, you know, so-and-so goes to church and, man, look what they do. Have you seen their posts on Facebook? You know, so-and-so, you know, that guy's supposedly one minute he's talking about how God works in his life and how great he is, and the next picture he's getting trashed in some bar somewhere. You and I had this conversation the other day. Or somebody's talking about, you know, a pure and holy God and how wonderful God is, and then you see what they're wearing, and it's like, whoa, you know, where did that go out the window? And I think Christians have severely damaged themselves that way, because we like everyone else, many times want to have our cake and eat it too. People want to have that relationship with God, but they don't want to submit to His authority and what He says. Folks, I got to tell you something out there. It's very crucial that you understand this. We have a capital, H-O-L-Y, God, a holy God. And God does not like things that are lewd. God does not like things that are corrupt. He does not like puffed up pride. He does not like dishonesty. He does not like favoritism. He doesn't like any of those things. He wants us to love other people the way He loved us and turn people to Him. And there's no way that you can turn people to a holy God by living out in the open an unholy life and saying, you need to come see my Jesus, because people are going to laugh you right down the street. Do you see what I mean? What are you talking about, this God that, you know, sends his son Jesus Christ to die for sin in the world? Well, if that sin was such a big deal, why are you so blatantly doing it all over social media all the time? And you're telling, what's the big deal? What's going on here? Now, do I say this, that I, you know, we all stumble, we fall, we do, I say dumb things. You know, my daughters will call me and say, Dad, you got to take that post down. It didn't come across right. And I'll do it, because I don't want to damage. I don't want to damage the testimony of Jesus Christ as a pastor. And sometimes we can all get carried away with emotion. We can say things and do things, saying, better reel that one back in. But, you know, we cannot blatantly live out there and act and do as a wild society does and call ourselves followers of Christ at the same time. It just doesn't jive. And people see that, and God's not going to honor it. You know, as far as is, you know, been a lot of talk lately about the Lord returning. And first, let me clear that up, what that truly is anyway. We know in Scripture that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after He was raised from the dead, and He spent a period of time with His disciples, and as many as 500 saw Him at one time. He taught, and He ascended to heaven, where He would stay until the day that there's the rapture of the church. And when that time, God's people will, it says the dead in Christ will rise first, and everyone else will meet them in the air, and they will go to heaven. And that is the way that is. But it also states that it's going to be like the days of Lot, when Sodom and Gomorrah was going on, and how wicked it was. If you remember from that passage, couldn't even find 5 good people in the city. You know what I mean? And 5 just people in the city. And today, I used to think, well, man, it's got thousands of years to come, because there's a lot of good, just people still out there. I have never seen in my life anything rapidly declining so fast, that people are abandoning the church. They're abandoning any moral values. People are calling themselves Christians that have obviously no clue what that truly means, or even think about it. And we're seeing such an unbelievable moral decline. We had so many past presidents just in the last half a century that have said that this country cannot stand without God. It was Ronald Reagan that said, let me see if I get this right. When a nation ceases to be under God, it will soon to be a nation gone under. And it's a great quote because we're seeing that. We're seeing things today that I can't even, never thought, never believed that I would see. You know, in the racism, sure, we, you know, I don't want to get on a heavy discussion about racism because it's a horrible thing when people pick on people because of the color of their skin or those kind of things. I know that 45 years ago, when I was just a little wet behind the ear guy out of school, that I know that I was looked over on three jobs because I had to be put at the bottom of the list because of affirmative action. That was 45 years ago. So what I'm saying is, I know that 45 years ago, we were trying as a country to do something to equalize things in this country racially. It's not like this. It almost looks today, like from what you're seeing on the news and these groups, like all this stuff has just completely been forgot about. No one's done a thing about racism until suddenly these students are marching in the street, and we know that's not true. We know there have been people that have given their lives for what's right for people. Those people fighting in the Civil War, most of them were white people, and they were fighting for the freedom of black people. And it was the church leading the charge. The church in the North leading the charge to stop it. And since then, there's been so, like I said, 45 years ago, we had affirmative action, you know, to give blacks more of an opportunity in the job market in the world have been there. When I was in high school, I could not take advantage of the United White College Fund. There was no such thing. But still, you go back 45 years ago, we had the United Negro College Fund. My point is, everything's not perfect, and please don't think that I'm saying that. But what I'm saying is, it's not like everything has just been run amok, and suddenly these wonderful little kids that are getting out of college now and running in the streets and tearing people's stuff up and burning stuff and stomping have this righteous thing that no one's thought about. First of all, it was such a righteous thing. It's like Martin Luther King did not want to do anything with violence, did he? He said that all men were created equal by their Creator, and he lived by that mode. So what are these people tearing buildings down, burning things, statues, defacing, killing, shooting? Come on. That's not what we do as Americans. We get our point across. We can boycott. We can shut things down. We can protest openly. But where's this hatred, this violence coming from? You know, I would say that hatred is no better than the hatred that stood on a man's neck with his knee. It's hatred. It's inner hatred. I saw a video of a poor black man with a flag lapel. He must have been 80 years old. And this guy just walked up and clocked him, knocked him out cold. Is that any different? I mean, what are we doing here? You know, and it's up to, we can't do anything about those people. Those people are going to behave the way they're going to behave. But as those of us that seem to have a little bit of common sense and wherewithal, it's time for us to stand up and speak, wait a minute. Look, we got an issue to put on the table. We agree with that. And we need to all come together and do that. But let's quit inciting violence. Let's quit saying that those people that are rioting are just peaceful protesters when they're not. When they're using pipe bombs and shooting, that is not peaceful protest. But it's not being reported that way as it should. And I think that it's times that people like you and I and others stand up and say, wait, this is enough of this stuff. Let's clean our act up and come to a table and talk. And who's ever behind these busloads of people that are stirring all the violence? I mean, come on. When a bus shows up and right where they're going to have their protest, another truck shows off and drops two pallets of bricks off. Are they they're going there to talk or to break stuff? So who's behind that? Who's behind all that? Where are they getting their money? Why is there so much violence involved? We're a democratic society. We do things that way. We don't take things by force. That's always been those third world countries that did that, that we looked at and said, boy, we're way more civilized than you. We're not behaving in a civilized way at all. And I think that it's time that those of us that understand, you know, that claim to have some form of maturity or common sense, step up for this nation that we live under, this United States of America, and say, okay, look, we're going to deal with this, and maybe you have a right to be angry, let's deal with it, but we're not doing this anymore. We're not, this violence is done. You know, this stopping traffic on freeways and throwing bricks and, you know, come on, stop. This isn't how we do things. Let me tell you how you do things in America. You put up someone that you want, a candidate. You canvass heavily for them, and you vote them in. And you make sure they do what they're supposed to do and what they say they're going to do when they go to Congress or whatever office it is. And if they don't, you boot them out. That's the way it's always worked. That's why this nation functions so well. So to circumvent that and go in and just say, well, I'm just going to start tearing everything up till I get my way. Isn't that what spoiled kids do that turn out to be monster brats? Is that what we want, a nation of monster brats? That every time you want something, we just go in and start stomping and tearing up until we get it? That's what drug lords do in third world countries. We're not a third world country, and we're behaving like it. You know, if we want equality and we want peace and we want all these things, act civilized. Be civilized. If you're trying to convince me that you're as civilized as I am and that you're every bit as worth as much as I am, which I firmly believe you are, you know, Jesus made us all the same. God made us all the same. He created us equal, everyone. But if you're trying to convince me that you aren't, you don't think I feel that way, how are you going to convince me when you're coming at me like a crazy thug? You know what I mean? If you want to tell me you're not a criminal and I shouldn't stereotype you, don't come to me as a criminal, acting like a criminal. You know, if you're telling me that you as a people are just as important and just as good, then clean up your neighborhood, clean up your own act. Hold your own people's feet to the fire. It's just like in the church. If the church has a problem, if we have a problem in our church, I have to hold our congregation's feet to the fire. If someone's acting up and being a bad example of the church, if someone's doing something contrary to being a good example of the church, and it's coming to be a detriment to the church teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it is my duty as a pastor and our duty as church leaders and a body of Christ to go to that person and say, look, this isn't what we do. So the church in that sense, no different than anywhere else. As a government, when you say, look, this is not how we behave in this country. Don't condone violence. You know, don't use sacred services to stir up and cause more agitation constantly. These guys run around with the reverend in their name that are causing agitation all the time. They've got something to answer to God for, because that's not what his people do. That's not what God's people do. And, you know, constantly using any kind of a forum to get together to incite more fighting. And why are we tolerating that? Why are we, and I'm going to be blatantly honest here. I'm going to fire someone up, I have no doubt. I have a huge respect for the office of the President of the United States. And that's an office that as Americans we need to respect. But when you as a former president go to a funeral service where you're supposed to be eulogizing a man and you start attacking your political opponents and tearing people down instead of eulogizing a man that's laying there in a casket, it's time when you and I step up and say, no, that's not appropriate at all. We're not tolerating that as a nation. We're not a third world nation. For crying out loud, eulogize the guy's life. If you think he was a great guy, say so. Talk about the things that he did. Don't stand up there and trash the administration and incite more stuff. Don't stand up there and trash the police force and refer to them the way they were referred to in that funeral the other day. That's not what that was for. That was supposed to eulogize a man. And we're putting up the stuff in the country. And the sad thing is, by not speaking up, we're condoning it. When our president puts out unacceptable tweets out there, It's our job to say, President, that's, come on. That's not how we behave. You see, I'm not trying to be one-sided on this. I'm trying to say, let's get some of our morality and our decency back in this country and say, you know what, let's be Americans again. That we're put together with a group of people from all walks of life and come together and use the system for a common good. If you don't like it, change it through our system. Don't burn down my house. Don't blow my car up. Don't scare my wife to death that's trying to drive home with a baby in the front seat and you're rocking her car when she's done absolutely nothing to you. Don't do that. She didn't understand this. I'll tell you what, I've had so much white privilege in my life that I couldn't go to college. I've had so much white privilege in my life that I took peanut butter sandwiches to school the whole time I grew up. You understand what I mean? Is it out there? There's privileges of all kind, Terry, and you know it. It's not just color-based. Do you think for 1 minute that I wasn't discriminated against because I was under 5'5" my entire life? Do you think when I would stand in a lineup for a job and you had some guy that was 5'11", 6 foot tall, that was chiseled and cut, looking great, with that perfect smile on his face, that he wasn't going to get picked for a job before me? See, there's all kinds of criticism out there. There's all kinds of favoritism. You know, the one place that I can always go to that speaks on the sin of favoritism is the Word of God. I just got done teaching in James in the Bible, and it speaks on that very thing too. God says we don't favor one over the other for any reason. God made everyone the same. So, yeah, favoritism is out there. God made us so special. And if we turn to him and say, you know, look, you made me, you direct me. You show me what you want to be and how you're going to have a wonderful life because he's going to direct you and you submit to him. But when you buck the system and want to do everything your way, you're kind of like a fish out of water. It's not going to work. And you're not happy. Have you ever met any of these people that love to go to riots and love to go to protests all day? I mean, we have professional ones out there. I personally know some. That's where they get their income, you know. The word goes out, they get a check or cash or however it is when they get there. They're literally paid protesters. And I've never met one of them that has a happy, satisfied life. They're a loose cannon that don't know what their next year's going to look like. So why are we letting our country be taken advantage by this? Why is it being used for political gain? I think the biggest shame in America today, aside from the fact that they've turned their back on God, the biggest shame in America today is that we have a political system that has worked, but we have allowed it to get to the point that we have politicians that are literally willing to take their conscience and wring it out like a rag and throw it out the window to get their party in or to get their person in or to stay in power. It's all about power. And the things they're willing to do and say, Terry, I can't believe any of them. And if you tell me you can, I'm going to tell you right now, you're crazy. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, whatever fits the agenda for the day is what's going to be said, is what's going to be backed. I've never seen a political system this divided ever. You know, I look back in the days when we had Tip O'Neill would come across the aisle and work with the Republicans and back and forth. You remember those days? And some of those people, yeah, they were arch enemies, but you know what? When the cameras went off, they worked together. But now we live in a state where, if you can't beat somebody, try to make them out to be a pervert. Try to get them impeached. Try to get this done. You know, what's happened to beating people at the polls? Why do you have to tear people down and slip people in to say this, say that, and the other? And I know that it happens on both sides and everywhere. I'd be scared to death to be in politics today. I couldn't imagine. You know, I don't want to put my family through that. You know, one day you're a decent person and you've got hopes and aspirations of being helping your country and doing your civic duty and think, yeah, maybe I'll run for that office. I could do a lot of work for my community. And next thing you know, they're digging up stuff that never happened. Or stuff that did that's blown out of proportion. And all of a sudden, here you are, a person that has lost a reputation. Your family suffered. How sad is that? And we've allowed it to get to that point. That's why I want to encourage all you guys to vote the bums out. I mean, they've been in too long. I mean, seriously, look at our career politicians. You know, I look at some of our candidates. 30, 40, 50 years in Congress. Getting filthy rich, and you can't see one major accomplishment they've done the whole time. All they've done is cut deals and get rich. And we're going to put their sign in our front yard? You see what I mean? I believe that we need these term limits. We need these people out. We need to hold people accountable for what they do. I'm more concerned, and this seems strange coming from a pastor, I'm more concerned about the agenda of someone in office, what they're going to support and get behind, than I am what somebody says about them. You understand what I mean? I mean, you can say something about someone all day long, but none of us know the truth. None of us know the truth. None of us knows what's been made up, what hasn't. And half the time, just you'll find out that some of the very people that are squawking the loudest about somebody got more in their closet than they did. And if you looked yesterday at those list of people that had the indictments for child trafficking, pornography, sex porn, all these things, some of them were sitting on committees and in positions to fight the very thing that they were caught doing. So don't buy into that at all. So I'm saying, if there's a politician, let's see where he's headed and what he's doing, what they're going to support. You know what I mean? If I'm for, say I'm a strong supporter of the teachers union, and this guy's a strong supporter, I would vote that direction. Say this person over here really is a champion for private schools and for charter schools, and I'm in that camp. That's the direction I'm going to go. I don't want to vote for somebody because, well, this guy said that this guy had four girlfriends when he was married, and this one over here. Come on. It's a bunch of innuendo and garbage. Am I condoning any bad behavior? No. But we've gotten to the point in this country, things have gotten so dishonest, that we at least want to try to follow a candidate that you know is going to support a certain direction. And I think that's where a lot of people are at. I know a lot of people ask people about Donald Trump. They'd say, how could you vote for Trump when he did this, 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 and this? And the only answer they could give is, look, that's not why we voted for him. We voted for him because he supported this, 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 and this. If you go the other side of the coin, you know, how could we vote for them either? So what are we supposed to be, disenfranchised? In other words, you know, if anyone's got any moral shortcomings, I guess Christians aren't allowed to vote because they're hypocrites if they vote for them. That's not the case. You know, you vote for someone that is going to stand behind what you do. We still have our civic duty. It doesn't mean, I've said this many times before, and most of my friends say the same thing. Donald Trump would not be one of my friends. Wouldn't be some one of my running buddies. Wouldn't be someone that, you understand what I mean? But it doesn't mean that I don't believe in the policies that he supports. You see what I mean? And it's the same thing on the other side of the coin. I'm sure there are people that have voted for a lot of people on both sides of the coin that said, I really don't like their character, but at least they're headed in the direction I see things I want to go. And I don't like people that are full of pride and arrogance. So there's one big strike against most of them right there, because they all kind of have it if you listen to them in public. And it's not just there, it's in all kinds of places. But, you know, it's getting harder and harder for us. What time we got, Terry? 6 minutes. It's getting harder and harder for us as Christians to know where our place is in all of this. I want to be vocal, but then people will say, oh, Pastor, you know, you need to reach everybody. You can't be too vocal. But I want to tell you this. I will always speak out against what I believe is evil. And when it doesn't jive with what God says is right, I will always speak out against it, because that's what I should do. don't get on me for living my convictions, and I won't get on you for living yours. You know, that's the country we live in. We're supposed to be allowed to do that. We're not supposed to be attacked. You know, I know a lady that a couple of weeks ago, she was talking about, she was an African-American lady, and she said, I've never witnessed in my personal life, with my life, discrimination to the point that I see people are saying. You know, I've latched onto the American dream, and I've fought for everything I have, and I've been very successful. And immediately she was blown up as an Uncle Tom. Is that fair? That's her. She was being honest with how she felt. You see what I mean? And it's just like somebody that, you know, truly feels some way. We have to look at people and understand where they come from and why they feel a certain way. You know, that's no difference that on the other side of the coin, someone calling someone a libtard because they like to save trees. You see what I mean? And you know, we've got to get to a point back in this country where we say, you know what, let's respect each other's opinion. Tolerance does not mean agreement, and we've been fooled that way. You know, tolerance means I'm willing to respect what you have to say in your opinion, even though I may totally disagree with it, and we'll let you know that. We've changed that around. Suddenly, tolerance means that not only can you say something different, but I better go along with it, or I'm a piece of garbage. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, and I tell those protesters in the street, you need to respect how I feel. If you want me to respect how you feel, I will respect nobody that's out there being a thug and hurting people. You'd get zero respect from me. And I would pray that you get zero respect from any decent American, too. You understand what I mean? Just like those corporate guys that are bringing illegals over and putting them in sweatshops and working them to death. They're just as evil as evil gets. And you know, that you think that's not a slave trade? And that's mostly with Latin Americans right now. And it's just sad deal all the way around. But I want to tell you something. My God reigns. In the end, God wins, so you better get on the right boat. And you better realize that God loves you. He loves each and every one of you out there. There's not one person out there, I can think of nobody out there, that I don't want to see know Jesus Christ and come to know him, and that I can spend a wonderful life in heaven with them. And I wish them in no one no ill will. But we got to get back to Jesus and begin to start loving each other again. We're about out of time, buddy, I think. We have 2 minutes left. This is great. Hey, this summer we're going to, I think this Sunday night at the church, outside where people can social distance, we're probably going to show a movie. And we're going to be doing a lot of different things like that. As things allow, we're going to be probably some of our programs like Team Kid that we did. We may not be able to meet, but doesn't mean we can't put activity bags together and take them to the families and things of that nature. And we're getting ready to start up for school. Our backpacks will take off again and send those lunches home with the kids. But hey, come and see us. We're at Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Love you guys. I'll talk to you anytime. 740-494-2222. Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams,